Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the first four verses of Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And dear fellow redeemed in Christ, literally, the first story of a David beating a Goliath in all history. A young man hiding for his life, protected and kept safe from King Saul for years. A blessed king who defeats one powerful enemy after another for God's chosen nation of Israel. A man surrounded by beauty and riches with one victorious moment after another. This is the man who prays, "Have mercy upon me, O God." David, the king who ushered in the golden years of Israel's history, has brought upon himself terrible sin, pride leading to lust, lust leading to adultery, adultery leading to murder, and a cover-up of royal dimension. Then there comes a story told by a man who is called by God to tell this powerful and glorious king the bad news. The story goes like this. The family pet of a poor family, one little lamb, is stolen by a rich man too greedy to use one of his own sheep from his many flocks. The pet lamb is killed and cooked and eaten by the rich man and his guests. David hears that story and is filled with righteous anger. That man deserves to die. And the prophet says, "You are right. You are that man." David's cover-up did not work. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done evil in your sight. That is David's conclusion, and he is right. David's sins, his lust for another man's wife, the adultery, the murder of the husband, you know, people are hurt, people are sinned against in terrible ways, but it is finally against God. And so it is to God that David speaks as he grieves his sin. The God to whom David prays is not God in some absolute, mysterious, remote, or distant way. The God that David knows is the God of his fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of the Passover and the Exodus, the God of promises and deliverance. As Martin Luther noted, let no one interpret David as speaking with the absolute God. He's speaking with God as he is dressed and clothed in his word and promises, so that from the name God we cannot exclude Christ, whom God promised to Adam and the other patriarchs. We must take hold of this God, clothed and revealed in his word. Otherwise, certain despair will crush us. And this is the God to whom David then asks for mercy. But here we see a great dissimilarity between God and David. On the one hand is the just one, the holy one. On the other hand is the sinner, the murderer. And yet the sinner dares to speak and ask for mercy. There's a great battle that goes on here, for truly the sinner must say to himself, "I know that God is perfect, God is holy, God hates sin, so how can I speak to God? How dare I think that he would ever deign to have mercy?" One way out is the way that our human nature would always tend to go. And that is finally not to ask for mercy, but instead to try and make things right on our own. Lord, I have sinned against you, but now I will show you how much harder I will try to improve my life, to be kind to others, to worship more faithfully, to demonstrate that indeed I can live as you want me to, so that I can speak to you without fear, without trembling, since I have done all that you ask. Well, David shows us the other way, the way of repentance, the way of sorrow and faith, the way of trust in God's promise. David's trust is shown to us here in the little words, upon me. This is not some generic request by David for mercy. Rather, it's a prayer for mercy upon me. And to what does David appeal? Well, he says, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. The sin is David's. The action against sin is God's. Washing, cleansing, blotting out, erasing because of tender mercies, because of loving kindness. Not something of David's, not something of our own, but God's kindness, love, and mercy. The just one brings mercy to the unjust. The blameless one removes the blame from the sinner. The Psalm of David, Psalm 51, is one of the seven great psalms given the title penitential. These psalms are wonderful gifts of God during these days of Lent, but really during the whole year. For our time of repentance and faith is not limited to only these 40 days of the penitential season, but all our days as God's people. These are psalms that give particular attention to sin and grace, that ordinary life of the Christian in this world. They teach us what it means to acknowledge ourselves sinners, those who know that their status before God allows no self-justification. My sin is always before me. And yet who receive mercy and forgiveness. Here is the gospel, that wonderful news of God's commitment to care for sinners. The Apostle John put it this way in his first letter when he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We learn here that we do not compare our sins to David's, whether we imagine that to be for better or for worse, but the standard is the obligations of God's law. There we see, as did David, that we sin finally against God, and therefore it must be to him that we appeal. We pray for mercy, and our prayer is specific: have mercy upon me. It is personal because our sin is personal, and we need that gift of God's grace, the mercy he showed the world in the suffering and death of his Son for us, for you. That is how the blotting out, the cleansing, the washing away of sin was done. And for that reason, you may approach this God of promises and deliverance and salvation, the God clothed with his word and sacrament, and say, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. And believe he does just that. This word is for you. God's mercy is yours by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let us pray. You may rise. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and you forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.